He sets them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord.
She was a sweet-tempered, sweet-spirited woman who was kind and thoughtful. You can well imagine that her parents were proud of her. In time, as she grew, she married and in a few years had two sons. But things happened within the land of Israel. A famine came, and she and her husband and her sons moved across the border to neighboring Moab. They were there 10 years. And during that time, her sons married Moabite women. But also during that time, her husband and then her two sons died. At the same time, just as these things occurred, God blessed her homeland of Israel. The famine was over, and fruitfulness came about once again. But it was not a good time for Naomi. Naomi could not stay in Moab because she had no family to support her. And in those times, so very different from our times in so many ways, there was no way that she could support herself. In Israel, she could not work because she was old, but she did have a whole lot of family and relations who could support her. And so she made plans to return to Israel. But those plans were laced with grief. Can you imagine the depth of her loss and her grief? Here she had had a happy family, it would seem. A husband, two sons, two daughters-in-laws. And seemingly life was going rather well. But now, husband and sons were gone, and she was left without anything. Her two daughter-in-laws, although they were Moabite women and worshipped other gods, at least had been raised in that environment, loved her deeply. And when Naomi said that she had decided that she had no other choice but to return back to Israel, both of them, loving her so much, said, "We will go with you." Naomi knew that they loved her, and she loved them, and in her heart of hearts, that would have been her desire, but she knew that it really was not practical for them to do that. And so, after some discussion back and forth, she persuaded one daughter-in-law, Orpah, to go back to her mother's house with the hopes that Orpah was still young enough that she could marry again. But the other daughter-in-law would not be persuaded. Her name was Ruth. And Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1 and in verses 16 through 17 to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." The name Naomi means pleasant. That's how we know what kind of a character she had. Because as opposed to our society, where within the first 24 to 48 hours, we easily and quickly name a child. We worry about it for months in advance. Sometimes we buy these books with names in them. Betty and I did that, trying to figure out some appropriate name for our daughters. I don't know if we came up with appropriate names, but we came up with names anyway. But at any rate, they didn't do that in these times. A child wasn't named when they were born, or at age 1 or age 2. They were often named at age 5 or 6, because they were named according often to their character, to their personality, or perhaps to the hopes that their parents had for them. But Naomi's life had changed, and so had Naomi. So as Naomi and Ruth get back into Israel and back into Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem, everybody says, oh, is this Naomi? After all, it had been 10 years since she'd been away. She'd changed, and you know, grief and sorrow take a toll on us physically. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Naomi looked at all the losses that she had had, and she blamed the Lord for every one of them. The death of her husband, the death of her sons, the fact that she was now almost destitute, that she was dependent totally upon other people for her livelihood, for her life itself, and that of two daughters-in-law, only one was with her. Naomi was angry at God. But Ruth was a blessing to Naomi. She worked hard to provide food for them. And God was blessing Naomi despite her anger at him. In his abundant grace, God provided a benevolent male relative by the name of Boaz to aid Naomi and Ruth. Naomi must have had comfort now that she was back in Bethlehem, comfort from old friends, perhaps even childhood friends, people she had known her whole life, an extended family, cousins and aunts and uncles, who knows how many people were connected somehow to her as relatives. So she must have been comforted in that. And the presence and the love and the hard work of Naomi must have humbled, or of Ruth must have humbled Naomi. Here this daughter-in-law, who cared so much about her, would leave her own homeland and come to a place of strangers. And not just strangers in terms of a strange place where she had never been, but people who were not even part of her background, worshipped a different god, thought and functioned a different way as a culture. Boaz's kindness and generosity certainly must have encouraged her. Here was this man who did what he didn't have to do, but because of his character, did it to bless both Ruth and Naomi. But Naomi still grieved the deaths of her husband and her two sons. She grieved the life that they had known together as a family. She grieved the security and the love that they had had as a family unit. And what woman would not be in her position grieve that? All those losses. What woman in her position wouldn't be angry, even angry at God? She grieved all of this, and perhaps the worst of all of this was that Naomi had been left without any grandchildren in whom she could kind of invest her life. They were not there to alleviate her profound sorrow and loss. Those of you who have gotten a little bit older and who have grandchildren, you know that despite your aches and pains, despite your age and how you look to the future and realize the future may not be very far, you find yourself comforted and encouraged and all of those things that otherwise get you down alleviated by your grandchildren, don't you? But Naomi had none. Yet even in her great grief, Naomi was not self-absorbed. Despite her anger at God, Naomi was not just focused upon herself. She did not take the attitude that she was owed anything by anybody. Instead, she appreciated the blessing of God and gave a blessing of God to Boaz, appreciating his grace toward her and toward Ruth. She acted as a mother to Ruth, seeking to find a husband for her so that Ruth could be well provided for. It's kind of an interesting play as that term comes up. Because Naomi realized that there was a point in her life when she was younger And her parents looked to find a husband for her so that she could be well provided for. And now she was in a position where that was the past. But Ruth was a young woman. And although she was a young widow, she still could remarry and she could still be well provided for. And that became uppermost in Naomi's mind. And Ruth respected Naomi's love for her, so she followed Naomi's godly direction in regards to Boaz. And Boaz obeyed God's will regarding Ruth. And God blessed both of them and Naomi. So we read in Ruth chapter 4, and in verses 13 through 17, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth.' Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, who we know would become the king of Israel. All this was by the grace of God." Naomi's grief in the loss of her husband and sons did not go away. Those of you who have lost a husband or a wife or a child or some mix of that know very well that no matter how long ago that loss has been, the loss, the grief, and the sorrow never go away. But God provided Naomi with joys to ease her sorrows. She was no longer Mara, bitter. But once again, she was Naomi, pleasant, and rejoicing and thankful to God for his care of her. God redeemed her life, buying it back from her slavery to sorrow. God saved her from her sin of blaming him for her sorrows. She could now see that God had provided for her and rejoice once again in his grace. Naomi's story, obviously, is from very long ago and from a very different kind of culture. But I dare say that mothers here this morning can find many parallels in this story, many parallels in Naomi's feelings. Some here today have lost their husbands, whether by death or by divorce or by dysfunction. And some mothers here have lost a child, whether through death or disability, whether through substance abuse or through deep emotional hurts, or whether that child has simply become so self-centered they no longer even pay attention to their mother. These women know how very difficult life can be without strong and constant involvement of family in their daily lives. And these mothers, in their losses, are lonely, discouraged, struggling, longing for sustaining joy. Some mothers here may feel the same bitterness toward God that Naomi felt. They may blame God for their deep grief and their loss. Are you one of those? They've not yet recognized God's grace toward them and his willingness to redeem them if they will trust him. Are you one of those mothers? Some of you mothers need a person who extends God's grace to you. Perhaps a fellow Christian, a friend, a relative, a Ruth, a Boaz. And some of you have such a person in your lives, someone to bring joy which you had not recognized and have not yet praised God for, because after all, he is truly the fount of all blessings. And every blessing that you have, whether you recognize it or not, whether you acknowledge and praise him for it or not, is from him. But we who are their children especially must help our mothers return from sorrow, from whatever source, to rejoicing in God for the blessings that he gives us. A few years ago, I received a letter from a woman whose mother at that time was a member of this congregation. And she wrote me these words: "I want to thank you and your people for reaching out to my mother in her time of need. I had been praying that she would find a good body that would love her, and God has answered my prayer. My mom is very precious to me. I'm her only daughter, with four boys that came after me at age 5. Mom and I have always been close in spirit, although I live 2,000 miles away and have all her natural grandchildren and great-grandkids here with me. Her faith was imparted to me in so many rich ways as I grew up. I remember so many Proverbs quotes to keep me on the straight and narrow. She was faithful to go to church even with 5 children, and I followed her example with my 5, in spite of the work that entails. It was the right thing to do. I fell away from the church in the 60s, as did so many hippies in that era. But our God was faithful to the prayers of my mom and to his living and alive word. They echoed in my mind throughout that black period away from the Father. Mothers, there's no substitute for bringing up your children in the word of God. It truly lives in them, and God uses it to bring just what they need to know in an hour of crisis. In 1975, after one failed marriage, 5 abortions, and another failed relationship, I was pregnant again, trying to get the money for another abortion. I could not get my hands on any money. I was alone and desperate, with Mom all the while trying to help me any way she could. She keenly feels the pain of anyone feeling helpless and tries her best to keep her own children to not feel alone in a crisis. She does this because she lost her mom at age 7 and had to struggle all her life with an alcoholic father who tried to provide a home for his kids. She grew up very early because she had to, with 4 brothers and sisters who looked to her to mother them. Mothering is what she has always done, and she does it so lovingly. At this point in time, however, I needed the Father to help me, and he did. I called out to him in utter surrender, repented of the 5 murders I'd committed through abortion and all my other sins against him. I vowed I would have this child come what may, and I put my life in his hands because I sure had made a mess of it. I had been saved and baptized at 12. I couldn't wait until I was 12 so I could. So salvation was not my need. My need was surrender. Surrender to the Father and walk in his ways. God has been very faithful. I got married, raised 5 children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, was widowed at age 42, went to nursing school by the grace of God, was single 12 years telling God, "My picker is not so good, so you pick the next one." And he did. I have now been married 3 years to a wonderful man of God who is evangelistic, and we are missionaries to the largely black neighborhood where we live and in which we also own 28 apartments. So my husband is known in the gates. We have 10 grandkids, and all of them know that God rules at Mama's and Papa's. So thank God for a faithful mother. I haven't been half the mother that my mother has been, but I want to be one of her children that shall rise up and call her blessed. Again, thanks. Thanks for being used of God to bless my mom. The biblical book of Ruth tells of Naomi's transformation, a transformation from despair to happiness, a transformation from emptiness to fullness, And all of that came through the selfless, God-blessed acts of Ruth and Boaz. But the greater story is of God's grace toward Naomi and his redemption of her and of her life. The God of the Bible redeems people. Amen? The God of the Bible is not the God of wrath that is so often painted, nor is he the God of goodiness who gives us all the goodies that we want. He's not the God who's on call anytime we want him as a servant. He's the God of redemption. And redemption is buying back an item or a person who was owned by another. Spiritually, it applies to people who once belonged to God. By their sins, they sold themselves to Satan. In sorrow, they've humbled themselves to God, who in turn bought them back to be his once again. God deeply loves us humans. So he sacrificed his son Jesus Christ as the price to buy back all humanity from Satan so that they can once again, so we can once again belong to God, who is truly our Father. We must recognize that by our sins, we sell ourselves to Satan to serve him. But by our faith in Jesus, we will be redeemed like Naomi to have a new life. We will be saved from our sins like Naomi to both praise and to serve God. In Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14, the writer says to Christians, those who have been redeemed because they humble themselves to God and called out to him to save them, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Do you need redemption and salvation today? Do you need to be bought back from your sins, from your ownership by Satan, to be once again owned by God, to praise him and serve him, to recognize his blessings despite your sins, to recognize that he has been at work all your life, in your life, blessing you despite you? Do you need to come to him in faith and humility once and for all right now by coming forward as we stand and sing? If you will, come.